God's always going to be in the midst of His people when we gather together in His name. Amen. And we want you to just get in here and let the Lord bless you tonight. Hallelujah. So, Embeth's going to sing for you, and I think she's going to sing, I Held On. Okay. Yes, she's got some CDs back there.
So just hold on.
Amen. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that all you have to do is just hold on? Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes we give up just before we receive what God's about to do for us. Amen. And that's our human side. Our spirit man wants to hold fast to whatever it is that God's going to do. But sometimes we in the natural, we just get weary, a little tired, and we just turn loose. Amen. But thank God if we'll hold on, God's going to be there. He's going to answer our every need tonight. Amen. We want to say it's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. We want to thank you for the place that we have, the room to stay. And we want to thank Brother and Sister Horton for taking that. Sister Horton, Brother Horton didn't get to go today, but we enjoyed the wooden spoon all by ourselves. You know, it was a shame he didn't get to be there, but anyway, we understand he was taking care of business. But we want to thank you for all that you do for the kingdom of God and all that you are doing for this revival. Amen. And we want you to be blessed. Look at your neighbor and said, you need to be blessed. Glory, that was weak, but maybe you'll get it in a little bit. Amen. You need to be blessed. Amen. If you want to tonight, I'm kind of winging it, if you know what that means. If you don't, you'll find out here just in a few minutes. Amen. And so, you know, in the book of Matthew in chapter 11 and verse 12, the Bible, it's real familiar scripture, and the Bible tells us, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, but the violent have taken it by force. Amen? Listen to what he said, but the violent have taken it by force. And what it's simply talking and telling us here, that the kingdom of God has always suffered, amen, from the things of the evil that's in this world. And if we're not careful, the violence that's out there will overshadow us and overtake us. Come on. You got to understand what the Word is trying to tell us. But look at your neighbor and say, we're winners and we're going to win. Father, I love you tonight and I thank you for your grace and your mercy, your love, your goodness and your kindness. Thank you for these pastors, for this body of people. Pray, oh God, tonight that you take us, use us as the divine oracle of God. We'll speak only the words that needs to be spoken into the ears of this people. God, give us the anointing to be able, God, to do that you sent forth for us to do. Holy Ghost, we give you charge that you take this service and God, that you do whatever is necessary in this house. And everybody said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. In the book of Luke in chapter 9 and verse 1, the Bible tells us, it says, then he called his 12 disciples together and he gave them power, glory, and authority over all devils and to cure the diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now I'm going to stop right there. You can read the rest of it if you like. But I just want to preach to you just for a little while. Have we relinquished that authority? Glory, I know she just sung I Held On. I had to build you up before I got here, okay? Amen. But have we relinquished that authority? The Bible said that whosoever shall believe upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. And we've taken that scripture and there we have built us, you know, whatever we think is necessary with that one scripture. So if I call upon the name of the Lord, I'm saved. That's all there is to be said about it. Nothing else done. I agree that is the word of God, but there is something that has to follow in behind that. Okay. He called his disciples. He chose them out. 12 of them. And we know that one of them became, amen, he wasn't a devil when he called him, but he allowed the spirit of the enemy, amen, to overtake him. Come on. And he became the one that betrayed our Savior. Amen. But when he was called, he was just like the other 11. Amen. And so the Bible said that he gave them power and authority over all devils. So that tells me, Brother Horton, that Judas Iscariot had the same power that all the rest of them, that James and John and Peter and all the rest of them had. Come on. Amen. So whenever the greed, come on, began to take a hold of him, he had power over that devil. When jealousy began to take over him, he had power over that devil. Oh, y'all, say amen. I'm going to preach to you. You may not be back, but I'm going to just go ahead and preach to you tonight. Amen. Because I want you to understand we're living, amen, and I realize you know the times we're living in. But the church world as a whole has got to wake out of her slumber and wake out of her sleep and recognize who she is in God. Come on. Amen. Just because I've called upon the name of the Lord, he has saved me, he has filled me, amen, wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I'm thankful for all of that, but there's something I must do, amen, to progress the kingdom of God and prepare the gospel of Jesus Christ across this land that is dying and going to hell. Come on. And a church world that has become so, amen, slack in their concern for lost, so slack in their concern, amen, of being faithful to God. Come on, you might as well preach with me. Come on. But understand tonight, amen, that Jesus, amen, said, I'm going to endue you with power from on high. Amen. So he gave them power and he gave them authority. Now he didn't stop with the 12. Amen. He's still giving those, amen, that call upon him the same power and the same authority. But I feel like in this hour, now folk, I've only been preaching almost 50 years come June, and that's just a drop in the bucket. But I want you to understand, from June the 9th of 1969, when I started preaching, amen, until today, March the 18th of 2019, there's been a vast change in the body of Christ. And I'm not talking about going back to the buck wagon days. I'm not talking going back, amen, to letting your hair grow down, that it sweeps your tracks out while you walk. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about those kind of things. What I'm trying to express to you tonight, there is some power and authority in the realm of God that has been relinquished in the body of Christ. Because we have the authority to set the captive free. We have the authority, amen, to open the blinded eyes and make them to see again. Oh, somebody say amen. We've got the authority and the power to set the demonic free. Amen. But we have relinquished that authority. We come to church and we really don't have church. We really don't worship. Oh, you might as well say amen. We just come together and have a series, amen, of a meeting. Come on. Amen. And everybody gets to feeling a little bit better. But when we walk outside these doors, did you take your power? Did you take your authority? Or did you relinquish it before you went outside? There's a world that is dying on its way to hell, and it's engulfing our children and our heritage. Come on. Amen. Come on, church. Your heritage is your babies. Oh, somebody say amen. We live in a world that is promiscuous, and we live in an age that is letting anything go. Because we relinquished our power and our authority. You want to know why the vision of God don't come into the perspective that it wants to come into? Is because we don't pick up the mantle and run with it. Come on, say amen. We don't pick up, well, mama did this, but that was mama's day. What are you doing? Amen. Daddy did this. That was daddy's day. What are you doing? Come on, somebody. You see, somebody's got to recognize and realize, amen, I got the same power and the same authority, amen, that Jesus passed down to the disciples. I know people think I'm a little bit on the, amen, the wild side in one sense, but I just dare to believe that the Word has said it. Amen. And God said, I'm no respecter of person. And for those that believe and those that follow after Him, He said, I want you to understand, these signs shall follow you in my name. Now you got to understand, He sent the disciples out and they came back rejoicing. And they said, oh, in your name, demons are even afraid of us. They bow. And He said, I want you to understand this. I didn't send you out there for that kind of a glory. I sent you in power and I sent you in authority so that the world would recognize that I'm still alive and well. That the world would know the gospel that I came to preach is the only gospel that there is. That the blood-bought way is the only way to make it to heaven. I didn't send you out there that you might get your name in neon lights, but I sent you to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. So it's not about the works that I do. It's about how I do my works. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. You see, we've judged old-timers of old in the way that they've done things. But who's in authority today? Come on. Some of y'all, y'all need to grab a hold to the fact that you have the same anointing and the same power and the same authority. If I don't say nothing else all night long, I'm going to tell you that. Come on, say amen. It ain't going to stop with Linda. No, no, no. My children, they may not use it, but they have the same power and they have the same authority. Come on, somebody. It won't stop with my children. My grandchildren have the same power and the same authority. Now, they can relinquish that authority and lay it down. People come to me and say all the time, Sister Linda, I just don't understand. I just don't understand. Amen. I don't know if you just don't understand or if you just don't want to take Him by faith and believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Come on, somebody. I was preaching at the Assembly of God last week and I began to tell. I'm here to tell you I'm a nobody, but I'm looking for somebody to tell them about Jesus so that they can make heaven their eternal home. I'm here to tell you now, amen, I want you to know I've seen Him raise the dead. I've seen Him open blinded eyes. He's raised my own child, amen, lifeless out of my arms and gave her life. He raised my grandbaby that was already lifeless and stiff, amen, but He raised her up and she's graduating from high school to, amen, this year. I want you to understand the same power, amen, and the same authority. It don't have to come through a man. It don't have to come through a woman that you've never met or never known, but that you've read about in a book. Because I want you to know your name. I said your name, if you're saved, is in the Lamb's Book of Life. And He said you've got the power over all demons and devils and diseases. It's whether or not we want to receive it or not. Well, we want to step out. The devil says, you can't do that. You can't. I agree with him. But God can through you. So we relinquish our authority because I'm not a pastor. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. I'm not this. I'm not that. But are you a child of God? Come on, I said, are you a child of God? Come on. Amen. If you love him and you're a child of God. I had a young man come to me. I said, a young man, he's in his 40s. He's young to me. Amen. He's been a progress and a work, in progress, as we should say, and for the last several years. But about 2 months ago, God got a hold of him. Amen. We was up around the altar and we began to pray and Holy Ghost was moving. Amen. And we turned around and there he stood. He just came up, decided he needed God. He needed to turn his life around. The Holy Ghost got a hold of him. He began to laugh and he couldn't stop. Now this is out of his character. He's that macho. Amen. Don't cry. Don't laugh. You've got to be that stern. You can't move me. But I'm going to tell you something. When the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you and you let him get a hold of you, amen, he'll shake you one way or another. He'll make you realize that you ain't nothing. Amen. Mud ball with the life of God breathing through you. Come on. And that's what he did to this young man. Well, then the Lord began to show him some things and it scared him. And he came to me one night and he said, I want you to come here. I need to talk to you. Church was about over. I walked into one of the Sunday school rooms and he said, I don't know, tears welling in, and he don't like to cry. He's not a crier, Brother Horton. He won't even allow himself to let tears roll down his cheeks. Amen. And he all tear-eyed and he choked up and he said, wait a minute, I can't talk. I said, that's all right. Amen. If you'll let the Holy Ghost break you up, he'll make you a vessel he can use. Did you know that God specializes in broken pieces? Oh, somebody say amen. God specializes in broken vessels. Amen. And so you see, we don't want to be broken. Come on, no. We don't want God to break us out of our prideful, amen, self-righteous life. Amen. But honey, you better let him break you, because it ain't going to heaven with you. Come on, I'm here to tell you now. He said, follow peace with all men in holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And you've got to recognize your pride won't get you anywhere, amen, but in trouble. Amen. And you got to understand that. But he began to talk and he said, what I do? He said, I stand in there and God began to show me somebody with a migraine headache, and I knew I needed to go pray, but I just couldn't make myself. What do? I have failed God. I said, what you need to do, I said, is recognize this. This ain't got nothing to do with Casey. This hasn't got anything to do with Linda Williams, but it's all about him. Come on, somebody. I said, and you got to understand, if God can take a rooster and wake, come on, and make old Peter recognize he's telling me the truth. Come on. I thought I had it all. I thought I could do it. Amen. But I relinquished my authority, and the rooster got it. And the rooster was brave enough. Amen. Come on, to begin to crow and wake me up and make me realize I just lost my authority. Boy, y'all are quiet. Amen. You're in surgery, I understand. When you're under anesthesia, you don't say much. Amen. But anyway, amen. He began to weep and he began to cry. And I said, listen to me. I said, if God can do that, if he can take a donkey. Amen. Come on. When the angel of the Lord had his sword drawn and was about to take Balaam's life. Come on, somebody. But God can take that donkey. Amen. Whenever that donkey had done nothing but to keep him. Come on, Balaam. Amen. From the sword of the Lord taking his head. Come on. Amen. And he crushed him up against the rock, made Balaam so mad. He's kind of like most Pentecostal folk was. He jumped off that beast and began to beat him. And the old donkey opened his mouth and said, what have I done to you? Wouldn't that wake you up? Come on. I said, I think the Holy Ghost sometimes, all he's trying to do is wake us up. And we're sitting there uncircumcised, stiff-necked. Come on, unconcerned. That's not about me. Come on, it's not me. It ain't me that God wants to use. Come on. I'm telling to tell you, there's a distraction in the church world today like there's never been. Come on, you might as well say amen. There's a spirit of distraction that is sweeping across the land into the church world, but hear me now. Amen. As I told you, the Bible said, amen, John said, Matthew wrote it like this, from the beginning. Hear me, from the beginning. Amen. We have suffered violence. Amen. And the violent have tried to overcome and they've tried to take us out. But I believe God's going to raise him up. Some people, come on, that are going to come violent in the spirit realm. Amen. Come on, I'm not talking about guns and knives. No. But I'm talking about warriors that are going to raise up and say, I realize I have relinquished my authority. And where down the line I got a little lax. I got tired of teaching. I got tired of preaching. I got tired of singing under the anointing. Amen. Don't ever lay your anointing down. Don't you ever let the devil even try anything. Amen. To sabotage your anointing. Honey, I'm here to tell you, it'll set you free. Come on, that yoke-destroying anointing that God has given to the church. But we've taken it and laid it down. We need to rise up. Come on. Amen. Everything you ought to do, you ought to do it in the anointing. Come on. Because hell cannot take the anointing. Hell cannot stand against the anointing. Hell does not want to even deal with the anointing. As you see, it was the anointing. Amen. When Jesus said, it is finished. Amen. That it took him off of that cross. He went down, come on, into the bottom pits of hell. Come back and set the captive free. Hear what I'm trying to tell you. He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And he still jingles them in the devil's face today. Amen. And I want you to understand, if we'll recognize and realize the devil's been dethroned. Come on. He's done that. He's already lost his keys. The only thing he can do is what he's always done. But he said, I've given you power. I have given you power over all demons. I have given you authority. I didn't just give you power to recognize them. I didn't just give you power, amen, to know who they are and to call them out. But I've given you authority. They had to bow, amen, at the very name of Jesus. And you have that authority to do that. There's no reason for the church to be in the shape she's in. Amen. Come on. We live like we're cripples. Amen. Come on, folk. You say, Sister Linda, are you mad at us? No. I just want you to understand. There's a devil out there that's bidding high for your children. Come on, yeah, he is. There is an enemy out there that does not like you, and he does not like your bloodline. Come on, understand that. Amen. You see, I wish, Brother Horton, that I could turn the clock back and go back to my younger life, amen, a teenage life, and knew what I know now. And I know we can't do that, amen, and have the knowledge that I have now and recognize the anointing the way I recognize it now. Come on, and understand the way that I understand now. Come on. But I realize I cannot do that. Amen. So the best thing I can do for what I've got for the rest of my few days that are left down here, amen, is to give it all that I got while I can. Amen, because I understand, amen, that the enemy is out to kill, steal, and to destroy. Now, listen to me. He's not worried about the world. He's already got it wrapped up. Amen. He's not worried about all the Shahara law that they're putting in. No, because that's his plan. He's not worried about all the Muslims, amen, that he's got in Congress, because that was his plan. Amen. He's got that just like he wants it. He's not worried about the job that they're doing, as they're doing it just like he wants them to do it. Amen. The thing he's concerned about is that the church is going to wake up. Oh, y'all say amen. What he's really concerned about, amen, because he knows that there is a last day revival. He knows, Brother Horton, that there is coming, amen, a powerful move of God. He knows, amen, that the Jesus that we serve is coming to rapture a body of people out of here. Come on. He knows. He knows it better than the church knows it. He even knows the timing better than the church world knows it. Amen. That's why he's wrapping up, amen, the things that he's doing in this hour. Amen. That's why, amen, that the laws have been passed, amen, to destroy babies, amen, on the very day that they were even ready to be born. Come on. We live in a sick generation, amen, where the heathenistics, amen, have taken over and begin to control. Come on, say amen. And the devil's not worried about all that. It's fallen in plan. It's fallen in just like he wants it. What he's afraid of, amen, that we're going to wake up and recognize, amen, that we've been endued with power. Amen. What he's afraid of, that we're going to recognize, amen, that we, amen, have relinquished our power and our authority. Amen. What he's afraid of, Brother Horton, amen, that the church is going to come up, amen, and rise up and say enough is enough. What he's afraid of, amen, is we're going to push our plate back and we're going to begin to fast, amen, so that we can kill the flesh and get him under subjection. Come on, to the word of the living God with the Spirit of God and raise up on the inside of this body of flesh that I'm living in. Amen. Well, that the world will recognize, amen, that God's still God. He's still alive. Amen. There is a real, a genuine, a Savior. There is one that can heal. There is one that's coming out of a wheelchair. I never thought I'd see it. Hey, but it's coming out. There's one that's blind. I didn't think I'd ever see it. But they're coming out. And they're walking and they're seeing where they're going. You got to understand. Hey, the drug addict and the demonic and the atheist and the agnostic are going to say there really is a God. I've been wrong all this time. So what the devil's afraid of is that the church is going to rise up in their power and in the authority of the God-given power that God's gave him, and he'll lose what he set out to do. And it will happen. Amen. It will happen. Amen. But it's not going to happen with us just sitting around. Come on. Well, you know, if you get too fanatical today, people just won't listen to you. Yeah, that's what the devil has said. That's why we've relinquished our power. We've allowed the enemy to usurp our authority. Yeah, we have. Come on, you got to understand. Amen. So we live in a life in the church because we don't preach sin no more, and we don't preach about hell anymore. Man, we barely can keep folk with enough joy to come to church. Don't look at me like I've lost it. I'm telling you the truth. Brother Horton got up here and preached, "You're 2 inches from hell." Half of you get mad and say, "Well, he's preaching right at me." Well, if the shoe fits, baby, the altar's open. Amen? I can tell you the last message I preached on hell itself and nothing else. How close are you sitting to hell? Amen? Lot was just outside the gate. Come on. Amen? He was so close to hell that the angel had to come and pull him out. Come on. Amen? And his wife was closer than that. Oh, come on, folk. You see, we don't recognize sometimes. Right? The Bible, he was Abraham's nephew. Come on. And Abraham, the only reason he wasn't destroyed is because of the power and the authority of the prayer and the bargaining power that Abraham had. Come on with God. The only reason he had chose to live in that homosexual city. He had chose to raise his family in that homosexual. Come on, son. Don't get mad at me. Amen. He let his daughters marry into that heathenistic mess. He had 2 virgin daughters, but the others was married. Amen. All of his children was as wicked as the city was, except for the 2 that were still at home. Come on. That's how close to hell he was. He was comfortable. You see, he had relinquished his authority. He had laid it down. Come on. Even when the angel came, come on, get outside. Come on, Lot, it's time to go. You got to get out of here, Lot. Get your wife and your 2 girls and go, "Well, I don't want to go out yonder. Let me go over there." Come on. See, we want it our way, not God's way. Come on. If he'd have done it God's way, amen, his wife might not have ever looked back and turned to a pillow of salt. Come on, somebody. But Lot had to go where Lot wanted to go. And you see, sometimes God will will let you go where you want to go, but it'll cost you greatly. Come on, because you're in the permissive will, not in the perfect will of God. The perfect will would have been for him to went where he was told to go. Oh, y'all say amen. But you see, because he didn't want to go where he was told to go, amen, he chose another place. Oh, y'all say amen. And the fact of the matter is, come on, they were told not to look back. But the angel came and said, Lot, here you sit. Why are you sitting here? Because God's about to destroy this city, amen, and the cities around it. And while you're still sitting here, and the fire and the brimstone from heaven is about to fall, what is wrong with you, Lot? Amen. So finally, by the ushering of the angels, but we don't have that promise. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. But by the ushering of the angels, Lot struck out, and they were within the safety of where they were headed. She was but a few feet from what we might say heaven. Come on, somebody. Run in, Sister Kelly. Come on. Run in, knowing, come on, that if I don't get there, I'm not going to make it. And she had her instructions, don't look back. Now, you got to understand, she had children there, probably grandchildren, I don't know. Amen. So when she heard the screams, she heard the cries, come on, and she heard, come on, the fire falling and the hell and the brimstone. Come on, folk. Amen. It was more than she could handle. Amen. Come on. The two daughters run into safety, and Lot was running right behind. Come on, somebody. Amen. And here was his wife within just a few feet. Amen. I mean a few feet from her safety of harbor. Amen. And all she did was turn a neck. Come on, somebody. She just had to have one last look. Can I tell you? Come on. She relinquished her authority right there. She had power to save herself. She had authority to get into safety. Oh, somebody say amen. Hallelujah. But for some odd reason, she just had to have one last look. And that one last look cost her. Amen. Come on. Amen. And now, as she has an eternity to think about where I could have been, but where I am now. And I want you to understand, see, what the devil wants to do in this last hour, amen, is to shut down the power and to shut down the authority, amen, of the church of the living God. He'll never be able to accomplish it. He will accomplish some. Because there are some that are in our religiosity, come on, and our religious spirits, that we can't turn loose of some things. And I tell you this, and don't get mad at me, if you do, meet me at your church, amen, and we'll pray through together. But can I tell you this, amen, denominational barriers have separated the body of Christ. I don't care about your name tag. You can call yourself anything you want to call yourself, but if you are a born again, amen, I said a born again, blood bought, child of the living King, you are my brother, and you are my sister. I may not look like you, and you may not look like me. I may not dress like you, and you may not dress like me. Amen. But let's link arms together, hand in hand, and say, with the power that you got, one can put 1,000. Hey, take my hand. Two of us can put 10,000. Let's grab another brother's hand. We're multiplying in this thing. Amen. God's not into division and subtraction, but he is into multiplication and adding. Amen. So grab another one's hand, and before you know it, and when we begin to do that, amen, the devil begins to shake. He begins to tremble, and he realizes they're picking up the power. They're picking up the thought. They're picking up momentum. Oh, somebody say amen. That is a word that you're going to hear a lot in this year, is the momentum. Because the power in the presence of God will not cease. It will gain authority. It will gain power. It will gain strength. And it will just keep gaining ability to go forward. and do what is necessary in this last hour. Amen. And if we don't want to do it, He'll go over to another town. He'll go over to another city. He'll seek out, if He has to go to the casinos, if He has to go to the hell holes, amen, bring the prostitute out. Amen. Save them, fill them, amen, and anoint them. He's going to have a people that's going to take the momentum and go forward in God and get the power and the authority back that belong to the church of the living God. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to be a part of it. Hallelujah. I done went too far, fought too many battles, cried too many tears, and been by myself too many times. I plan on making it. And I know that you do too. Come on. He said, and you know the story real well in Matthew 16. And in, I think it's verse 19, if I'm not. Yes, verse 19. Amen. This gives us total access to the kingdom of God and its abundant power. Amen. But we know that. We've read it. We've preached it. Come on. Come on, you know it real well. I'm just going to read it to you from the Amplified Version, and it says, I'll give you the keys. Keys represent authority of the kingdom. I'll give you the keys. I'll give you the authority to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever that you bind, whatever you forbid, declare to be improper and unlawful is going to be bound on earth. I'll give you the keys to do that. I'll give you the authority to do that. You can bind it. Oh, come on, folk. That's what he said. I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. I'm going to give you the authority, come on, to walk into the throne room. Come on. And whatever you bind, whatever is improper, whatever is bound by you is going to be bound on earth. And he said, and earth will it'll be already bound, been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, whatever you permit or declare lawful, come on. He said, on earth, it'll already be done. So, I'm going to stop right there. So, if the Word is the Word, and we believe that it is, and it says what it says, and it means what it says, okay? That's what it says. I have the authority. You have the authority to bind anything that's not permitted, that's unlawful. Come on, folk. That's improper in the body of Christ, and it has to be bound. Come on. Let's go a little further. You have the keys, the authority to loose, go into the throne room in your prayer closet with God and loose whatever is necessary. Come on. If the church ever gets a hold of it, Brother Horton, hell will never be able to stop her. We've heard that preached. We've heard that preached. We've heard that preached, and we've heard that preached. Boy, that was good. But here comes the thing. You sign your child up for ball. You buy them a glove, and you buy them a bat. And you'll probably buy them a ball. You'll get them a suit of clothes for whatever ball they're playing. If it's softball, baseball, then you're going to go get them the kind of shoes that they need. If it's basketball, you'll get them the best of the basketball shorts. You'll get them the best basketball. You'll get them the best of tennis shoes to support their ankles. If it's soccer, come on, you know where I'm going. Amen. You will buy them. But it doesn't do them one iota of good if you hang it in the closet. If you take that baseball bat or that softball or that basketball or that soccer ball or whatever you've signed that child up for, And you take those things and you hang them in the closet. And baby, look at what you got. But you never take them to the field. You never take them out there and you never practice with them. They'll never know how to throw it. They'll never know how to bat it. Come on, they'll never know how to run it. Holy Ghost, you're going to get me in more trouble than I can get myself out of if you don't quit. We need some grandmas to pick up their power and their authority. We need some mamas and some daddies that'll say, man, I've laid it down, but I've got to find it again. That ain't my grandbaby, but I got to show it how to run for Jesus. That may not be my niece or my nephew. Amen. That's somebody else's child. But I'm going to be the one that's going to lift my hands and worship and show them how to get into the presence of an almighty God. I'm not backslid, and I don't really need anything as far as my physical is concerned. But I'm going to that altar and I'm going to pray. And I'm going to weep over that altar and I'm going to lead that young child, that young man, that young woman. I'm going to train them how to get a hold of God, how to get on their knees and bombard heaven. You can take them to church, but if they don't have a mentor, if they don't have somebody, amen, that's going to show them, come on, our children know more about, come on, amen, the things of this world, the football player, they got idols, and there's nothing wrong with having, you know, some that they look up to, but I want to know, where is the ones that have the power and the authority? Where is that prayer warrior? Come on, where is that anointed vessel? Where is that one that's going to teach whenever they don't even feel like nobody's listening, but they're going to teach anyhow? Where is that one that's going to preach when they don't even feel like they can hold their head up anymore and look at the crowd, but I'm going to preach anyhow? Where is that singer that says, I know nobody wants to hear me, but I've been anointed. I got power and I got authority. It may not nobody else want to hear me, but I'm going to lift up my voice like a trumpet, because the angels of heaven are listening for my voice, and I might carry it, amen, to the throne where Jesus is at. Amen. Where is that one, amen, that says, hey, I'm going to come early enough and I'm going to get before God? And that young person walks in and says, hey, what are they doing down there? They're already warming up. And they're getting the usher, beginning to usher in the Holy Ghost, so that when the pastor gets here, when the preacher's in the house, he don't have to pull or struggle or fight hell to preach the word. Where is that authority? Where is that power? We grow weary, okay? We have grown so weary that we have relinquished our authority and laid it down. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why that we've got 1,500 preachers walking out of pulpits a month. That's why in the Pentecostal Church of God organization, there's no young preachers except for about 3 or 4 under the age of 40. Most of them are from the age of 55 to 80. Come on. Why? Because we've relinquished our authority. We failed to show them what it's like to fight. Oh yeah, we've showed them how to argue among one another. We've showed them how to disagree. We've showed them how to hip-hop and run from church to church and here to there. And y'all, come on, y'all might as well say amen. We've showed them how. But where's the stickability? Come on, where is the stickability? Amen. Where is, amen, the strength and the power to know that this is where I'm planted? And honey, I may wither up, but my roots will bring me back up. Come on, have you ever watched a plant? As long as its roots don't die, it'll live. Oh, it's your best house. We've cut a bush down twice. We hadn't dug its roots up yet. It's already that high again. But why? Because it's got a root system that don't want to die. Amen? I don't care how weary you get. If you've got a good root system, amen, and you'll hang on, Come on. As them best sang the song tonight, I held on till the storm was over. I held on. Come on. Amen. It wasn't because I was good. It wasn't because I was bad. I just had to hang on. There's been times I had run in my feet. Come on. And God said, just stand still. But I said, oh, God, you don't understand. Amen. My feet are getting real loose. And God, I can't stand much longer here. Come on. And God said, I'm telling you now, you better stand. Come on, folk. And you say, well, Sister Williams, I just don't understand. Amen. People come and people go. I know. Just let them go. Come on, let them come, let them go. But somewhere, somebody, when you get back the power, when you get back the authority, whenever you pick up that relinquished power and authority, amen, that you've laid down, come on, that hell has cheated you out of. Come on, gifts that are laying dormant. Come on, everything. Come on, there's gifts in the house that are laying dormant. Amen, and you've relinquished the power and the authority of what God has given unto you. There's gifts of healing in this house. Amen, that you're sitting on. Oh, Sister Williams, I'm not real sure, but what if I pray for them and they don't get healed? Pray again. Come on. Believe God again. Come on, somebody. I want you to understand. There's gifts of healing in this house. Amen. I'm not talking about gifts of tongues and interpretation. We as Pentecostals, we've majored on that. Come on. Amen. There's more to it. Amen. Who stole my Hyundai? And yea, the Lord saith. Come on, somebody. I want you to understand there is gifts of wisdom and knowledge. There's gifts of prophecy. Come on. There is gifts of faith in this house. Amen. I've got a measure of faith, but there is a gift of faith that you just know that you know that you know that you know. Amen. And there can't anything stop you because it's just there and you know it's going to take place. And they need to be in operation in the body of Christ. Don't relinquish your authority. Your children need to know what it's like, amen, to be in that presence. Hallelujah. Stand with me as Chris is coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen to me. In Psalms 80 and 3, the writer said this, turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. See, when we think of saved, we just think of repenting of our sins. But saved covers a whole lot more than that. Come on. At the age of 12, when I gave my heart and life to Jesus, I didn't know how to pray because I didn't really had anybody to teach me. So I wept my way through to what I knew how. My mother was a simple woman. My daddy died 6 weeks later. So I had nobody to teach me the word and have a mentor. But I clung. And I got to go to church, Brother Horton, and I clung to every word the preacher preached. I'd sit while other teenagers was playing on the seat, and I gleaned for every word I could grab a hold of. I literally did. I thought it was the greatest thing there ever was, is to learn the Word of God. And I still think it is. And I began to pray, teach me, O God. Teach me. Then God began to put people in my life that began to help me. There's so much of it I did not learn until I got older. Began to fast and seek the face of God and ask God to train me and to teach me. I don't have a doctorate degree. I don't have a theology degree. I don't have PhD except for a Pentecostal hairdo, as they called it years ago. Amen. But the fact of the matter is, I do know this. I know in whom I serve, and now I know in whom I believe. And I've seen him do too much for the church to relinquish her authority in this hour we're living in. Amen. Somebody said, Sister Williams, you just got a lot of energy. I make myself have. I'm not teasing with you, and I'm not telling. I make myself. I come alive in church. I really do. I may drag to the front door, but the moment I step inside, I come alive. Come on. My husband said, "Dear God, you die. If they pull you in the church, you'll resurrect." I said, "Just long enough to tell y'all bye bye. I'm headed home." Okay. Understand? There's something about His presence that is so real, so pure, so genuine, that I cannot get enough of. And there needs to be a hunger in us like we've never known before. Because God is wanting to take a church into a new revelation of who He is. He really is. And we've not learned, come on, we've not learned all about Him yet. Come on, we've not learned. We've heard a lot of good preaching. You've got a great pastor. You got a great man of God that preaches you the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He can out-preach me any day. And I submit to His authority because He's the man of God in this house. And understand this. He desires to take you to that place that God wants y'all to be. Because He's already seen it. I've not talked to Him about His vision. I really don't know exactly all what His vision is. But in my spirit, man, I can tell you of what the Spirit has shown me. That what He knows about the vision that God has shown Him, He is going to see it come to pass. Hear me. Well, it looks like, I don't care what it looks like. Come on. It's not what we see on the face of things and on the outside of things. It's what God shows us in our spirit mind and in our spiritual eyesight and speaks in our spirit ears that we know this is what He's going to do. He's going to bring it together. Going to do it. Amen. Because He never speaks anything that He don't intend to do. Hear me. He never speaks anything, says anything that He has no intention of doing. It's just when we get in His plan, we get in His plan. Joseph was his brother's and his daddy's savior. Now, if you'd asked Joseph, he'd have said, I'd like to got to the throne a lot different route than the way I had to go. And it took me several years to get to where I was going. But I'd do it all over again to just see the hand of God and how He worked in the midst of it. See, our timing and God's timing is two different things. And God knows when He's got the people that are going to be the pillars. Come on. The P-I-L-L-A-R-S. The pillars that are going to hold fast, be unshakable and unmovable. And when He gets those pillars stationary, you'll watch it unfold. Because the foundation's poured. Because it's built on Jesus Christ. You're here this evening, you say, Sister Williams, I know I've relinquished my authority. I've just kind of gotten slack. I know the power of God. I know the authority of God. And I know the plan that God has. But I've just kind of grown weary. Got a little self-centered maybe. I know we don't want to admit that. But I've just gotten tired of fighting the battle. There's some of you here like that tonight. Just gotten tired. I've been there. Come on. Amen. I've told the Lord, Lord, I was like Elijah. Why don't you just take me home? Nobody wants to hear me anyway, so why don't you just take me home? At the time that I was going through, I'd have gladly welcomed heaven to open its door and let me walk through. But God said, don't you think you're a little selfish? Selfish? No, God, don't you see? I got three old people that I'm having to take care of. Three kids trying to get them through school. I mean, they're old enough now they can take care of themselves. And my nerves are on the edge and I'm about to break. Besides, I'm at the age, I was almost 50 years old, folk. I was getting old, you know? But when God got through with me and I stopped and turned around and I repented and I said, I'm sorry, God. I'll never say it again. But as long as I know I have your anointing, I'll go where you send me. And I'll do what you want me to do. Come on. I'll never relinquish your power again. If you're here and you say, Sister Williams, I have relinquished my power. I know what it can do. Amen. Would you raise your hand up and right back down and say, I need God to help me tonight. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. I want you to come. I know you've raised your hand, but I want you to come. Amen. Raising your hand is one thing, but stepping out to God and saying, God, I want it back. I want it back. I want it back. I refuse to let hell have my family. I refuse to let hell take my children down the wrong road, my grandchildren down the wrong road. I refuse to let the enemy destroy what God wants the church to have. So I'm going to step up. I'm going to pick it back up. I'm going to become the prayer warrior, the mentor, the teacher, the preacher, the singer. Whatever it is that you need of me, that's exactly what I'm going to become. Because that's what I need of Jesus. Hallelujah. Got several that have come tonight that want prayer. Can I get some folk to help me out? Amen. You got all that you need of God? Come on. I need some prayer warriors to come and help me out. Hallelujah. Glory to His name. Begin to love Him tonight. Come on, begin to love Him tonight.
Love He deliverance.
Begin to love Him tonight.
From my enemies, oh
God. Since you came,
my fears are gone.
Are you ready?
I'm no longer. Your family.
break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. Break every chain. And there's an army rising up. Now there's an army rising up. Now there's an army rising up. Oh, to break every chain, 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 to break every thank you. Redeemer, Defender, our great and mighty.